Al Redmond back here, and I'm about to introduce for the first time to the greater Delaware Valley audience on Prism, Randy, Macho Man Savage.
Yeah, freaked out.
Yeah, everybody get ready right now. Killer Cal, man, this is a great opportunity for you, and I'm surprised you don't have your autograph book right here, because the number one professional wrestler in the world today is in Philadelphia, yeah, getting ready for his big match against Sweet Hansen. Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Yeah, everybody concentrate when I come down the aisle, because I got $1 million rope that's going to knock your eyes out. Yeah.
How many of those robes do you have?
I got a lot of robes, Killer Cal, and I'll tell you something right now. Don't ruin your reputation because you've interviewed other wrestlers before.
That's right, the best.
Sure, yeah, the best, yeah. But
are you the rest?
Oh, man, see, now what's happening here is when I'm getting psyched up and ready for a match, I don't want no announcer be messing with my mind. Yeah, because I got Sweet Hansen in my mind. When I go
now
down
you
there,
know and I know.
Take out the sunglasses and look into my baby blue eyes, baby, yeah.
Sweet Hansen's nothing but a human punching bag. It's going to be no problem for you. Let's talk about what you do in the ring.
You're right. That's the first thing that you said that made any kind of sense at all.
I'm hip.
You're hip, but
now, I understand
not.
You do some wild stuff. I saw your introduction at the Garden. You're pretty sensational.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You
want
to tell the fans what we're going to see?
All of a sudden, Killer Cal's all right. Yeah, all of a sudden, Killer Cal's on Macho Madness. Yeah, Macho Madness sweeping the country.
Hello, and welcome to a new podcast project. This is Kelly Nelson, and this project will be looking at Randy Savage, the unreleased collection from, I have the DVD right here, 2018, so a couple of years ago. I got it off Amazon, and I've never watched it. It's been sitting around for almost 2 years, and now with the coronavirus, self-isolation, and nothing else better to do, I'm going to be reviewing this one match at a time, live watching, just myself. So who knows, this may be a total disaster as a podcast project, but we'll see. And every listener who has a copy of this DVD at home, please watch along with me. We'll be going over the matches, starting with June 17th, 1985, Randy Savage versus Aldo Moreno. I already recorded the first three matches on disc one ahead before recording this intro. I did make one error, and being the Chief J historian that I am, I have to correct this mistake. and the mistake is I was talking about Randy Savage's MSG debut, which was in June 1985, June 21st, 1985, to be exact. And when I started talking about it during one of these matches that we're going to be looking at, I totally, at first I said it was Savage against Jose Luis Rivera, which actually happened a couple months later at MSG. That was the match I was remembering between those two. And then I also second-guessed myself and thought it was maybe Paul Roma, but it was actually Rick McGraw that Randy Savage wrestled in his MSG debut June 21st, 1985. So I just had to get that out of the way before going forward, just because I'm a perfectionist in a way. I hope this will be something interesting, something to pass the time if you're like myself in social isolation. I'm not in social isolation because of my job telling me I had to work from home. I don't have a job. I live on a farm with my wife. We sold our condo in the city a few months ago. And yeah, I'm unemployed. The timing was quite fortuitous. So I'm like the folks in the city and wherever who have to stay at home now because of all the restrictions because of the coronavirus. So hey, here we are getting through this together, and this is my contribution to society and doing my part is I'm going to provide entertainment to the masses through podcasting and reviewing this Randy Savage unreleased DVD. I'll be releasing, who knows, maybe one a day. Probably not, but they'll be short, little 10 to 15 minute bursts, looking at three matches at a time, or at least at first, because the first few matches are all the jobber squash matches from TV, so they're all short. The later matches are longer, but even then, I'll keep it short. I don't want this to be longer than like 10, 15, 20 minutes a pop. but I'll be pumping them out at a brisk pace. So I hope you enjoy. So we'll be getting to the first match shortly.
Yeah, freaked out.
Okay, here we are on the menu screen. Let's just go to chapters. And we're going to start at the very beginning. First match on the disc, June 17th, 1985. Macho Man Randy Savage versus Aldo Moreno. I believe this is his first match in the territory, coming from Memphis. This would have been, I'm assuming, on Championship Wrestling. So let's begin. On the count of three, we'll do a countdown. 3, 2, 1, go. Yeah, wow. Savage with his territory years robe on with the snakes. He would soon move on to different designs. But that was one that he wore for quite a few years, or at least one similar to this one in the early 80s when he was slowly putting together the whole Macho Man package. Got the sunglasses, got the headband. So young. Would have been just 32, 33 here, I believe. He's 1 year older than Hulk Hogan. Vince and Bruno Sammartino, the living legend on commentary. I think this is from Poughkeepsie? Pretty sure. Look at those, the pink tights. Probably the most famous of the tights that he wore before he started with the long pants and all the other fancy dress beginning in 1990. Oh, and now we see the managers. Bobby Heenan, Blassie, Jimmy Hart, Johnny Valiant, Mr. Fuji was there too, there he is. And the storyline coming with Macho coming into the WWF was that he had no manager, and he was being scouted by all the top managers as like a number one draft choice, almost, you know. And it played up for several weeks. You know, who's Macho gonna pick? And I wasn't watching wrestling at this time. I didn't get into it until 1986, so I don't know the week by week progression exactly. I think managers were slowly whittled down, like the prospective candidates for managing Savage. They would repeat this exact same angle pretty much a couple of years later when Bam Bam Bigelow came into the WWF, and I was watching religiously at that time. And they did the same thing with all the heel managers courting Bigelow before, of course, he did the big swerve and went with a babyface manager, Sir Oliver Humperdinck. For better or for worse, mostly for worse. Anyway, back to the action. There you see you just saw the double axe handle off the top. Look at the ringside area. No mats yet. Pretty much total domination here. I'm assuming this is going to be the finish. Going up to the top rope from the inside. Not going to the outside, then up. Big elbow. No. This is much like he would do in Memphis, where he would do multiple elbows. So two elbows. You'll see, and I'm sure we'll chart this as we go along, the evolution of the Savage character and his moveset and how eventually, he'll, of course, just use the one elbow to finish a guy off. But, you know, I mentioned the robe being a holdover from the territory years, but I also mentioned the pink tights would be something he would wear, you know, pretty consistently for the next couple of years and would be, like I said, the most remembered, I think, of his three-star tights look. He had a few different colors. Yeah, look at him. All the managers in the ring. Out goes Marino. He's going to dole out some more punishment. Another double axe handle from the top rope to the outside coming. This had to be doing a lot of damage to his knees over the years, doing that night after night. So, next up on the docket, we have July 9th, 1985. Looks to be also from Poughkeepsie. This time it's Savage versus Mario Mancini. Mancini, a top jobber in the WWF at this time. One of the more memorable ones. I guess the alliterative name helped. here we go. Another of the territory years robes for Macho Man here. This one looks to have even like something, some rods in it or whatever to make it look like almost like wings. Yellow. Very interesting. He's still solo here. This is July 9th, so a few weeks after the previous match. Still without a manager. Oh, amazing. I'm surprised he didn't keep that style of robe. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. Didn't suit him. It's cool. It's unique. It's almost like a supervillain's attire. Like the Vulture from Marvel Comics. Again, we have Vince and Bruno on commentary. And you're going to see, you're seeing here some of the stalling that Savage was famous for, that he brought over from his Memphis days. Not as extreme as you'd see in some cases. His debut match at Madison Square Garden, which isn't on this set because it's been out there already, and is more well-known, was from, I want to say it was from July, but it may have been June. That's an amazing match to watch against Jose Luis Rivera, where it goes 15 minutes. It's essentially an extended squash match. Apparently Savage, well, one of the stories is that Savage sort of decided to color outside the lines a bit and exceeded the time he was supposed to have for the match because he did so much stalling and, you know, his shtick from his Memphis days, Southern style. But he gets great heat immediately from the MSG crowd, gets a pop, like a full Coke thrown at him within like the first minutes of the match when he's just takes it to the outside. So it's a really cool match to see. In that regard. And now I'm second-guessing myself if it's against Jose Luis Rivera or if that was a later match at MSG. Maybe it was against Paul Roma. Anyway, June-July 1985 MSG for Savage's debut is a sight to see, that's for sure. Yeah, Savage always liked to take it to the outside. Do some spots from out there. Of course, here's a typical heel move from the time, going for the pin but pulling him up at the count of two to embarrass and humiliate the poor guy. Here we go. Oh. Well, that was a mistake, or Mancini not knowing Savage's repertoire got up when he was supposed to lay down for the elbow. So Savage says, probably said to him, "You're supposed to stay on the fucking ground, Mario." And look at that, maybe adding a little insult to injury with that pin to sort of show him up for screwing up that spot. But it's funny, I mean, these guys probably had never wrestled before. Maybe didn't even really talk much backstage before the match. And that's how you did things back then. Worked on the fly, called it in the ring. And you would see those kind of botches from time to time. Now here we go. Here's Paul Roma. Look at him. young, sculpted. Yeah, he's pretty, you know, the downside of Paul Romo is that he was just a little too short for big time status. Because otherwise, he had a good look. I mean, he wasn't the greatest worker in the world or most charismatic either. But anyway, Savage coming to the ring, yet another robe with the rods in it to give the wing effect. This time blue. This is August 3rd, 1985. So he's into his third month in the WWF, and still Elizabeth is not at ringside. So they really drew this out quite a long time. Drew out the whole angle, like, who is he going to go with? And then, of course, spoiler alert, I guess everyone knows this, he doesn't pick one of the established heel managers. He picks the lovely Miss Elizabeth as his manager, who, of course, had not appeared before in the territory. But that's still to come. Who knows? It may even be this match where he makes the announcement. Like I said earlier, I was not watching at this time. I had yet to discover the wonderful world of professional wrestling. So I'm not sure the exact progression. I'm also not, you know, as of course, I'm part of the PWO message board and on all the podcasts, of course. But the PWO message board is known for people that are crazed about watching old wrestling, or at least it used to be, and would be very... a lot of the posters, the regular posters on PWO, would rewatch or go back and watch a lot of stuff from before they were fans and take real deep dives. And I've watched a ton, of course, of old wrestling. But I'm not a deep dive guy or a projects guy that goes back. This is maybe like the beginning of one of my first real projects in a lot of ways. Roma getting more respect than the previous jobbers, getting an offense. He was, you know, kind of like Rick McGraw had been in early 80s in New York as the jobber to the stars, or the quote-unquote good jobber. Now to the outside. So back again, yeah. While I'm a huge fan of wrestling history, unlike a lot of my brethren at PWO, I haven't done the deep dives like they have. So something like Savage's first few months in the WWF, it's relatively unknown to me, other than some big picture stuff. So we're all learning at the same time. And here we go, another big elbow. And another cocky pin. And another victory for the Macho Man, Randy Savage. So we're going to cut it off here. Next time, we got the debut of Elizabeth. And a different, you know, sort of part two in Savage's WWF career. So I think this is a good time to stop. And I hope everyone enjoyed this. This is something cool we can do. Watch along at home if you have these discs, and I'll guide you through the WWF career, at least at first, and then eventually it'll be WCW, of Randy the Macho Man Savage.